Welcome to another episode of Rise, Shine, and Grow. And today, we on the podcast, I have the privilege of hosting Dr. Reggie Melrose, who is a psychologist, a best-selling author, and she's actually the creator of the Somatic Healing Method, SRT, which many of you may know. And I recently actually met Dr. Melrose at an event hosted by Avi Fishoff of Twisted Parenting, and I was blown away by her warmth, her brilliance, her energy, and her wisdom. So, Dr. Melrose, you've spent so much time in our community, and so thank you for being here to discuss all the topics that are near and dear to my heart today.
A pleasure.
Thank you. So, tell us how you got involved in working with the Orthodox community, because I think that that probably has a fascinating story in and of itself, and maybe we'll trace our way backwards from there.
It began in Long Beach, California, with the community there. I suppose they found me like anybody at the time might have been finding me, any of my local clients. I've never advertised or anything like that. It's always been word of mouth. So I believe that some people in the Orthodox community there in Long Beach heard of my work and reached out to me. So I started working with the community right there locally.
Okay.
A number of years before, not before my first book was published, but in response to my first book, I did then hear from people from around the globe, people
Okay.
in the community. I think there had been rabbis that I know I was interviewed by some on their radio shows, and that was being broadcast around the globe in some ways in the community. And then, of course, you know the story. At some point, Avi Fishoff read something that I wrote and reached out to me and started sending people to Long
Through.
Beach to work with me. Yeah.
Yeah. So was this before SRT had actually been created, or during its creation, or after?
Yeah. So I didn't realize that. From the get-go, as soon as I had graduated, even during me working with Peter Levine, training with Peter Levine, I was taking his work and bringing it back to these very real life, practical situations with impoverished people, extremes of dysfunction, you might say. And so I didn't realize I was starting to adapt it immediately to meet the needs of the people that were put in my path. And so eventually that included the Orthodox community. And there was this very, because Avi started sending families to me from so far away, that was when I needed to really create intensive experiences and utilizing the visceral work, the hands-on work that I hadn't used up until I was having people come to me in person. That's what started really turning it into what it is today.
Got it. So if I'm understanding it correctly, you trained with Peter Levine, you enveloped yourself in the SE, the right of Peter Levine and the experience, and then as it became practical through you, as it filtered its way through Dr. Reggie, it turned into SRT as
That's exactly the
correct?
best. Yeah, it's the
Okay.
best way to describe it. It really is. These were the adaptations that I was making, so it's me. I don't know how you take me out of that. And in response to the needs of the people coming to me. And so that was public school kids and their families, as well as the Orthodox community.
So it's through Dr. Reggie and in response to the actual need in real life. And that's how
That's it.
SE turned into SRT, because in the real life, right? So maybe clarify for our listeners what the distinctions are between SE and SRT, or maybe just explain what each of them are. Meaning not as a
I
compare and
can.
contrast, but as
No, I
a,
can. Yeah. No, it's a really important question. And I think mostly, to keep my answers as brief as possible, because you can see I go on too long.
Me too.
I'm gonna try to make it succinct by really saying that we're not trained in SE to do visceral work. But Peter gave me a personal experience of that. When I had a session with Peter, he gave me a personal experience of what I call viscera, what is a very central and important part of SRT, because of what it did for me. He could see that I was of the variety of trauma baby, that if he didn't do that for me, I was not going to heal.
Got
I
it.
was going to stay stuck. So when I saw all these Orthodox people coming from so far away that needed a change, I started doing what Peter did for me, even though he doesn't teach it in the SE training.
And what's that distinction? So you're saying it's visceral. Does that mean it's actual physical grounding? What is, like, explain if you could what that means.
He does some beautiful physical grounding as part of the training, so
Okay.
that is part of SE.
Okay.
It really is a hands-on, for lack of a better word, because I don't like this word, it's a hands-on manipulation of the gut
Okay.
that
Specifically the
awakens.
gut, or is it
That whole, yep, I
the
can
whole
even,
vagus
I don't mind
nerve?
showing you, if you don't mind me
Okay.
showing you, then it's this whole viscera area
Okay.
that is the gut and all of what that entails,
Yeah.
all the organs that are in there that have the vagus nerve wrapped around them.
So it's anything that the vagus nerve reaches, basically, would you call this
No.
viscera? Or no,
No,
not no.
the vagus nerve
Starts
starts
from
in the
there.
primitive part of the brain. It goes out to the jaw, it wraps around the throat and parts of the lungs and the heart and the esophagus and all the way down into the gut. No, I wouldn't put it that way. All I'm going to do is show you that
Specific to the
this
gut, I see.
area is the viscera.
Got
It's
it.
the this is all of what we call the viscera. It's this area below the rib cage, above the pelvic bones,
And that's
soft.
where the stuff gets stored.
Well,
Or,
it's
yeah.
listen, stuff gets stored in all parts of our body, but this is a very central part that needs to be enlivened, awakened, loosened, set back into its equilibrium to
Got it.
function the way that it was designed to function.
And that is a key feature of SRT. That's a key,
Yes.
right, and a key distinction. So would you say that SRT cannot really be done without a therapist or a practitioner? I don't want to call it a therapist, but a practitioner who's actually going to be physically with you in the room doing this work?
I can't say that either. No, that would, I know we're always kind of looking for blanket answers and kind of like a formula. This is the
Right.
way it is, and this is how it always is, no matter what the circumstances. No,
Yeah.
SRT is about responding practically, pragmatically to exactly what is presenting itself. And finding a way to adapt what we're doing for the needs of the person that is here in front of us. Many people over the years have begged me because I said no to working online.
Yeah.
I said no to doing anything over Zoom. I said no to phone sessions, all kinds of things that the pushiness, thank goodness, I'm very
Right.
grateful for the
We
pushiness.
take credit for that in our community.
Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And now they don't necessarily like it when I have it towards them. I'll tell you that much. It's a little bit of a one-way street sometimes. I
Right.
want.
We'll get to that piece next.
Yeah, exactly. That is another really important piece to get to. But yes, because of that, I meet people where they're at, and I am stretched beyond, the ideal of
Yeah.
how we wish it could happen. And
Right.
then we find out that it can be very effective. There are, depending on the person, you can never know what is going to be effective
Yeah.
for another person. You just have to show up and respond in the moment with presence.
Right. I found that also in my coaching practice is that what I think I want to be doing with the client because I think it'll be powerful is not what where the client is at and what they need at that time. And following their lead and kind of going to where, going where they're at actually ends up being much more powerful and effective. So I feel like it's almost like having all the skills and the tools and then throwing them out the window, so to speak, and then just kind of meet, being in the moment. You were an early adapter to the idea of the body, the somatic, I believe, right? You were, I mean, Peter Levine was early in his understanding of how the body keeps the score and how the energy or the emotion gets locked into the body. What led you down that path, or how did you come to that understanding or that knowledge?
My own suffering.
Okay, so talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. A lifelong pursuit of my own healing that I was never going to give up on, that I was absolutely determined to find for
And
myself.
talk therapy was not doing it.
I did try 14 years of talk therapy, and maybe one takeaway on I truly have one standout takeaway, an insight that arrived from the talking that was very interesting at the time, interesting enough that it's still there for me. But no, it did not, talking did not change the suffering.
Say
It
that
did
line
not.
that you said, you can't talk your way into a healthy nervous system or into a regulated, you can't talk your vagus nerve into regulation. Is that what the line was? Is
No.
that your line?
Yeah,
Yeah.
sure. Yes. I usually say a version of you can't talk your vagus nerve into opening, expanding, releasing, going into an expansion as opposed to a chronically constricted state that is extreme and debilitating. Yeah.
So the trauma lands itself in the body, and talking about it doesn't get it. It doesn't really doesn't set it free. It doesn't release it.
No, no.
Okay, let's go back to that. What do you find in the Orthodox community that is unique, maybe? And since you have so much experience in this community, and I think this is how SRT even came about, is through the Orthodox community. What did you find in the community?
I guess whatever is unique about them is what is unique in me, because it really was a marriage of minds, of it was a coming home. It really felt everybody that was coming through my door was feeling the same way I was, that we were meeting ourselves. We were meeting each other. It was I don't know. We were
It just felt
hopeless.
familiar. It felt familiar.
100%. It felt like home. It felt like home. It
Wow.
just,
Did that
yeah.
surprise you? Was it like, hey, what is this? Or had you always been exposed to Orthodox Jews? Or it just like made sense and
Well, I've always been, always, I say always because I moved to Montreal when I was 18 to go to McGill and lived in Outremont, which is the neighborhood in Montreal where the Orthodox Jewish people, where many of them live. We have a whole community there. And yeah, my favorite time of the week was to walk around the neighborhood during Shabbat and to see everyone. And that always felt beautiful. And I married a Jewish man. And as soon as I met his mom, she was my mom, and she still is to this day. My best friend, Bethy, who's passed away, and her whole family, and all of that. So that was always, going to McGill, all my professors,
Yeah.
everybody. I was in the milieu for sure,
Yeah.
and did find my home with them there. When
Yeah.
I was at McGill in graduate school with all Jewish faculty and students, I was home. I
Yeah.
was home, and
So
I
it just felt
can't.
normal. It just felt familiar
Yes,
and it felt normal.
yes,
That's so
yeah,
fascinating. Wow.
yeah,
And
yeah.
do you find that there are distinctions in the
The
Orthodox community
Orthodox.
and how much trauma, or how we process trauma, or how we heal from trauma? Is it very parallel to the non-Jewish community, or is it distinct in some way?
I honestly, this is, I don't know how this is going to sound, and I'm not going to worry about it because
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm asking.
you're asking. So I'm going to answer. It was a degree of suffering and desperation that I related to 100% that made me so determined, and I could see that equal degree of suffering and desperation and determination that I did not see outside the Orthodox community, that I felt very alone in, because my siblings aren't like that, my parents aren't like that, my friends growing up are not like that. It was,
It had a
I'll
different
leave.
depth, a different depth of desperation, but also determination. That's interesting. Do you feel like that's,
And even, I might say, a different depth, period.
like it
I
just,
might even say that.
like it was going to the soul, like it was going to somewhere
Yes,
deeper.
100% soul. That's correct. That's correct.
So does it feel to you like it's like many of us are just not just, but past, past life reincarnations, that like meaning that the trauma itself has it has a desperation to it or an element to it that feels like it's not from this sent from this generation or from this world.
It has a driving force to it that insists on the unfolding of more healing, the unfolding of the next layer of healing, the unfolding of, we're
We're
going all the
going
way.
somewhere with this.
We're
Something's
going all the
happening.
way. We're not just going somewhere. We're going all the way,
This is
and we won't
intentional.
stop.
This is an
Yes.
intentional thing. This is, I say that to my
100%.
husband all the time. I say, if this is not part of God's plan, it makes no sense, because it's too, there's too much trauma. It's too pervasive. It's too easy to have trauma. Like everyone just has trauma, which means that it has to be that we're supposed to be in on this healing journey, and we're supposed to be, this is somehow like a preordained, intentional soul journey and mission, because otherwise it just doesn't make any sense.
And
That's
the way you believing that, I have met so many Orthodox people who believe the same way. That is a fundamental belief of my life that I don't get to share with my family of origin, with the friends I grew up with, a lot of the friends that I still have in my life, long, beautiful friendships, but we don't share
That this is
this.
part of something bigger, that this is purposeful, this is soul mission stuff. This is something that I feel when I coach very deeply, and my clients that I get to work with are clients who are aligned with this, to or become aligned with this idea to a certain extent, that this is not purposeless and this is not
Oh.
meaningless, and this is part of our soul contract here on earth and our soul mission.
For every generation to come, and I see it in my son. My son gets it. It's there. And he will carry this on in whatever way Hashem deems for him to carry it on. It doesn't have to look anything like how it is for me, but I see it. I see that this is about generations. It's about all the generations that came before and all the generations that are coming after.
Yeah, I see that too. And it adds, it adds that element of meaning when there's a story that has, when there's a meaningful story attached to our pain, then it no longer has to be suffering, I think. Even though it's
100
painful.
percent. Basia, again, just being again with another Orthodox Jewish person that speaks my language.
There
That
you have
is
it.
100% what I believe, what you just said there.
Were you
Yeah.
always spiritual like that? Or do you feel
100%
yeah,
from the, I have no memories of myself.
so you're good, or you're at least good.
It, to call God was that.
And I don't
And
know what they're doing over there with
well,
the
whatever it is that they're
Jehovah's, but
doing, it's terribly traumatic. And it was terribly, terribly. It was just another major trauma of my life in my family of origin. So that's the only reason why I guess I said it the way I did when I shared that with you. But anyway, point being, yeah, always, always, always
Interesting.
with
Interesting.
God.
And I mean, I'm going to talk about, that we also have a lot of religious trauma, and not because of the religion. We always say don't judge Judaism by the Jews, but there's a lot of people that are using a fear-based model of parenting, even with well intentions. And so I'm sure that, especially working with Avi, you see a lot of that. How do you help those parents? Because I know you don't only work with the traumatized children. How do you help those parents?
Well, no, listen, I actually work with parents before I ever work with children. So it is parents first with SRT. Yeah. So, and what do you mean? How do I work? I don't work with them any differently. Like,
So you do the same regulating type of work with
yeah.
parents who may be the ones who brought in a very unhealthy version of religion to their children, and now their children are at risk and right and all
100%,
that.
because
And
the only reason that they've done that is because of their trauma and that it's not healed, and they have poor vagal tone and the kindling effect of the amygdala going. So yeah, for them to, and that's what it kind of makes me, it makes me sad, because so many religious people, and this certainly isn't unique to the Jewish people, so many die hard religious people doing, they're
doing everything
worshiping, they're
right,
doing
doing what
their
they're
deeds,
supposed to, yeah.
they're doing everything right, but they don't feel the love of God. And because they don't feel loved, they can't give love in the
Just getting
truest
over a
sense of the
fear, they're getting
word.
over a fear-based
But yeah, and who
religion,
can blame them? Who can blame them? Who can
right,
blame them?
and it's generational. So do you find resistance when these parents are doing this work? Like, no, this is not fear. This is my religion, and it's supposed to be that way. Like, do you find them holding on to it, or they're ready to kind of do the
Oh,
work?
they certainly, I want everyone to hold on to the religious beliefs that they hold dear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no them needing to let go of any of that. What happens is, through that, I don't need to worry about words and talking and what they're saying or what they believe or don't believe. I don't work on that realm. All I do is soothe the kindling effect of the amygdala, improve vagal tone, and Hashem takes care of the rest.
So that's
The
what I wanted to ask you. So I'm coming from a lens that's a little bit of, the basics of somatic, just to create a safe container, but also an IFS type of lens. And, the way we would understand some of these reactionary or anger or fear and all that is as a protective mechanism, which maybe would be to keep them out of hell if they feel that they're supposed to be this way. And so I wonder if you come upon resistance to regulating, because I need to be in this state of
Oh,
anger
sure.
or whatever it is,
Oh,
because this
sure.
is part of how I need to parent or need to make sure my children, whatever. So it's like a protector. So what do you do? How do you kind of encourage this regulation when it doesn't feel safe to be safe, when it feels necessary to be on guard?
It's so easy. It's just non-resistance. You meet every form of resistance with non-resistance. And you just slow down with it and you sit with it and you really,
Meaning you don't
really.
get into the nuances of the why and
Oh gosh, oh
the
gosh, that's the last thing.
yeah.
As soon as you start doing that, you're in a big mess. You're in a
Yeah.
big mess. It's going to take forever. There's going to be so much pushback. Oh God, never, ever. No, you just, it's everything is somatic.
Everything is somatic.
Everything's.
There's no going into the mental or emotional state whatsoever.
In that state, Basia, they come so constricted and wound and at their huh, and I'm gonna come at that with anything other than slowing all that down, backing off, using sensory mechanisms that are going to loosen all of that and allow them to just settle. There's no way you can't talk them out of this. You can't. I would never. The
I get
last
it.
thing,
I get it. I
yeah,
get it. I
no.
get it. I get it. I get it.
No, that's a
So,
trap. That's a trap.
getting into the headspace is a trap. Even getting into
Yeah.
the emotional space is a trap. You're saying the only place to really go
And
with this is into the vagus, into the
it's not
kidney,
even,
into all
it's
that.
Basia, it's not even that it's just a trap. It's that then you're a part of strengthening those super highways in the brain for figuring things out up here. This thing lies. It's just full of so much noise.
Yes, for those who are listening without watching, she is pointing to her brain and her mind, and she's saying that the mind lies, right? Because the mind has an agenda.
It does.
Yeah, the mind has an agenda, and its agenda is not evil. It's a good agenda, but
Absolutely.
it's to keep, right? It's to, first of all, reinforce what it already thinks and knows, and it,
That's
right?
right.
And serve what it thinks is survival. And those are its own, and those are really one and the same thing,
Right,
right?
and that the way they've been surviving up until now is the only way they will continue to
Yeah,
survive.
yeah,
It's a lie.
yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And so you're saying that the real way in is just directly to where it lies, which is in the gut, in the vagus, all of that. Can you give me a, three or four maybe examples of, because you hinted at them, the kindling and, and all of that, and just explain some of the terminology of the somatic, the SRT
It is,
experience.
you can call it somatic. Somatic means body. And so what we do in somatic approaches is we learn how the body works. And the body includes the brain, right? It's really the brain body. It's this whole thing. We are a whole being.
System.
Everything works together. Everything affects, right? One thing affects every other thing. We are a whole. And so we can't have an effect in one part of us that doesn't have a ripple effect on the rest of us. We work with the brain body. And one of the ways that we work with it is first really understand how it works. When we are traumatized, really the best definition of traumatization is the kindling effect of the amygdalae, because the change that happens in us is demonstrative. It's measurable. You can, with the right mechanisms, actually see and hear what's changed about our brains and thus our bodies. And those changes are the ones that we need to be able to address. And actually, those changes that happen as a result of trauma cannot be addressed with words. So it
Got
is things like the kindling effect of the amygdalae. The amygdalae, it's this pair of little fire alarms in the primal part of the brain. And when we're traumatized, those fire alarms go on and stay on. They stay on.
it.
That's the definition of traumatization. If we weren't traumatized, they would go off. They'd go back off, and we wouldn't be in a state of alarm
So they
anymore.
stay on, or they go on too easily, like too, like they or they're hyper aware, hypersensitive.
Some of us are born with excruciating sensitivity, and there isn't a great way of knowing, did that pass through our genetics? Was that an alert that we were experiencing in the womb? Because many moms, unfortunately, are living in some pretty pressured,
States.
stressed, traumatized, like all kinds of challenges while we're in the womb. And then what was the birth experience like? And how did the bonding and attachment period go? And were there complications of any kind? It's very hard to, when I look at it from a soul perspective, then some of us came here to be exquisitely sensitive. And through that sensitivity, yes, did I probably have, I don't know, a harder time of it in some ways? Like things that I noticed my siblings were able to just kind of, I don't know, push through.
You got to look at it
And
from that wide lens then, is I was supposed to be the sensitive because I was my soul needed to have this experience, and so that I could become Dr. Reggie Melrose, so that I can do SRT, so that I can treat the Orthodox community, so that whatever, right? Meaning there's probably a wider lens for it, but so there's that
100%. I
sensitivity.
always go out to the wider lens, Basia. Thank you for referring to it.
So then I'm going to say, so let's go back to the kindling, right? So we have this alarm system, then you're saying it stays on, or I was asking you, does it stay on, or does it just become hyper alert to
Well,
hyper?
it is hyper alert. When it's on, that is what it is. It now when it's so The amygdalae are designed to be ready to send us into alert when needed. So, when threat is real or even to the system, then the amygdalae go on and send a message throughout the entire body through glucocorticoids. That's how it sends the amygdalae send their message. It's funny, it used to be singular. Now we know we have a pair, so I never know whether to refer to it as a singular or a plural. But let's say those amygdalae, when they are on alert, they send glucocorticoids out throughout the whole system to go into a flight fight,
freeze,
freeze,
date, fawn.
fawn, date, right? That's what happens with that. Now, when there is no traumatization, listen, we can experience trauma without becoming traumatized.
Right.
We experience a trauma, the amygdala go on, we get through the trauma, the amygdala, right? It goes off and we come back down to baseline and that's it. And then we're not ultra sensitive
Right.
unless our soul came here to be ultra
Yes.
sensitive.
Right.
But for typical people who aren't ultra sensitive, their amygdala goes into alert when it needs to, it comes off alert when it doesn't need to
Right.
be, and everything
And
is
everything's fine.
kumbaya.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if it goes
So,
into alert and there's an actual threat and then the threat is resolved and then there's like that time, like the release, right? The shaking or the crying or whatever it is, or the support that's needed, then again, we don't necessarily need to be traumatized. So you're saying, right? So, but let's, but so what's the kindling? What does that mean? What does that
it
word mean?
means that the fire alarms in the brain are staying on. They're not going back off. So they're telling you that everything is fire. Run, everything. Don't sleep. Don't focus on school. Don't do anything other than make sure that you're going to survive this second. What do you have to do to survive this second? What do you have to do to survive this second? That's what the kindling effect of the amygdala does too. That's what traumatization is.
Yeah, would you say that most of the DSM? I mean, I say this, so I'm going to put it out there first and then just see if you agree with this statement, is that most of the DSM is just different manifestations of trauma?
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable with that.
Meaning it's
I'm
the big book of all the different ways that trauma can present itself.
correct.
That's
And
how I see it.
yeah, it's not to take away from the presentations that show up in lineage.
Yeah,
Okay, fine.
there's a
So
big book of, you know, the big book of all the different ways that trauma can present itself in this planet trauma, as you aptly called it, right?
yeah.
What's your take on mental health diagnoses, medication, etc.? And because you worked in some pretty intense populations, what's your
I
take on?
did. Well, I don't think that it's going anywhere. I wish so. There is conversation sometimes around that we're finally going to recognize that all illness is physical illness.
Yeah.
And from that, from what's destabilized physically inside of us, physiologically inside of us, there are these, some sufferings of the mind,
Yeah.
but certainly not mental illness.
Yeah.
This is physical ailment. This is,
That's,
you
yeah, I
know,
find it funny also that people make the
yeah.
distinction between physical pain and emotional pain, because if it wasn't
Yeah.
physical and if it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be causing. Like, meaning if you insult me,
Yeah.
I feel a stab in my chest. That's physical pain. You can call it
Yeah.
emotionally. You can call it emotionally. I don't know, but it's right. But I'm feeling an actual physical pain. And right. And so people talking about that transmuting into physical illness, sure, it is physical, right? It's
You
the.
know what? It stems back to the medical model in general, right? There's a foot doctor and a throat doctor and a
Right.
head doctor, and it's ridiculous as
Yeah.
though something happening there isn't affecting everything else that's happening. And that if you just treat something here, it's going, you have to, you it's every we're a
The
whole
whole system, a
being.
whole being.
It's
Are
a
you
whole
seeing
system.
any change in that? I mean, you're in that world a little bit more than, you know, I as a coach, like you're a doctor and you probably are in the medical establishment a little more. There's a move towards a more holistic, whole person approach, isn't there? Would you say so?
Yes,
Yeah.
100%, 100%. And there are the sticklers, and then there are the ones that are the seekers, and there's everything in between, just like there always has been. And so we will continue to make progress, and we
Yeah.
will continue to expand the consciousness, and we are. And I don't think we'll be around to see anything too dramatic,
Never know, though. You never
to the
know.
change of the DSM. But you
Right.
absolutely never know. I
Yeah.
do think we're going to have the DSM until the end of my
You
lifetime.
think so?
I do. I don't think
There's
in
too
my
much
lifetime.
invested in, there's too much
Yeah.
invested in that. So I know that Avi, I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but I've heard him say this, is that, you know, he's not pro these labels and medication and all
Right.
that. Would you say that that's a radical position that he takes? Do you take that position, or are you somewhere in between, which is we can have some of each, or?
I don't think him saying that he isn't pro those things is radical. I would say for me that I want for an individual person whatever is helpful to that individual person
Yeah.
at that time in their lives.
Yeah.
So it was very helpful to me. I remember, I think I was 27. I think it was just before I met. It was a year or two before I finally met Peter and got, so maybe I was 26, 27. Anyways, and I was a PhD. I think I might have been an intern, maybe a postdoctoral intern. I can't remember. Anyways, I'm with a psychiatrist because I'm suffering, right? I'm
Yeah.
suffering. After
Yeah.
14 years of talk therapy, I'm still suffering.
Yeah.
I'm at another psychiatrist's office. She says, "Well, Reg, you're a psychologist. Why don't we look together at this and don't what do you, and had me as part of the diagnostic process." And there was no doubt that at that time in my life, the outward manifestation of my suffering
Yeah.
met
Met
enough of the
criteria for a
criteria,
diagnosis.
and that getting it and going on some medication for it was interesting for about 3 days. I
Yeah.
did notice
Yeah.
taking it, like when I first had the very first dose, I went,
Oh, this is what it feels like to feel okay.
yeah. And then, 3 days later, I was comatose on the couch,
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
I didn't continue it, and I continued my seeking and found
Yeah.
Peter and all of that.
Yeah.
But it was helpful for a moment.
Right.
I don't know.
So,
Some people need a label. They
right.
like it. It organizes
It
it for
organizes things.
them.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think that's
Yeah.
also where talk therapy can be helpful, is to organize the thoughts and to validate the thoughts, and so that it's not, it might not be the solution, but at least part, you know, at least like the, you know, my closet's organized. At least, you know,
Yeah.
at least, right, at least I have a way of thinking about it, or a perspective of
Yeah.
thinking about it that feels like it makes some sense to me, or at least feels
Yes.
validating to me.
Whatever's soothing those amygdalae, because
Yeah.
that, what you describe can be very soothing for some
Yeah,
people. And that's what
okay.
I want for them.
So
Yeah.
give us a story of a situation that we, or like a client that was in a mental health crisis, so to speak, or, you know, in a acting like they had some sort of real disorder, you know, and how your approach was able to help them, if you have any stories like that. Or especially the most extreme ones, because I want to hear how, like, we can use SRT all over the place.
Yeah, I mean it depends on what you mean by extreme. Like someone who had a suicide date.
Good, great. Let's go there. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Give us, yeah,
Because
paint that picture for us.
that is actually my most common. Most commonly, I am the last stop for someone. They've tried everything else. This is pretty strange work. It's
Yeah.
very, very different for people.
Yeah.
And people will avoid that at all costs. Not only do they avoid even therapy, because that's scary, but at least with therapy, they can talk and they, or
Makes
someone's going to
sense to them. Yeah, it
talk at
makes sense.
them, and that modality feels natural, like
Yeah.
a little more natural, right?
Yeah.
So the idea that they're going to have to do some woo-woo stuff, they really avoid it at all costs. It's kind of like going to 12 step. There
Yeah.
are so many parallels between SRT and 12 step. I don't even know how to tell you. It's like
Interesting.
we're gonna do anything
Anything.
but go to 12 step, like anything else.
Interesting.
Oh,
Do you
yeah.
think the
And
resistance is because they are afraid it might actually work, and so they're not
well,
maybe?
Beneath the conscious awareness, yes, that it's going to create the most change in their lives. We resist the thing we need the most.
Yeah. Yeah,
We just do.
as I'm hearing you say it, I'm saying the only thing that makes sense about the resistance is because it's not so difficult, the work that you're doing. The only thing
Yeah.
that makes sense about the resistance is because the fear, the comfort level of staying the same versus the fear of change and the unknown and the unfamiliar. And so the devil I know versus the devil I don't know.
You got it. We're pretty married to it. But
Yeah.
here's the thing. I think it's the fear that the change is going to come on too quickly that way. So, for example, well, I'll keep it to SRT.
Yeah.
And so there is, I think, something beneath the conscious awareness that doesn't want too much too soon, too fast. Our nervous system needs to inch our way to
Yeah.
change.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't tell you that. This makes you believe that you want change right now. You've been working so hard for change. What are you talking about? I've been trying to change my whole life.
Yeah,
It's
the
scary.
mind is not on board with that. The mind is not on board
No,
with that.
the mind really
The mind is
believes,
like, well, this is
no,
expensive
I'm
and it's time consuming. I got to just
right.
get it done and I got to fix
Exact
everything.
right. Yeah. Big lie. Big lie. This it has to do it in the way that it needs to do it to assimilate and accommodate, right? It's like it's a series of
Yeah, it's interesting.
assimilations and
The last
accommodations.
podcast I did was about, well, it had to do with GLP-1s and weight loss, but we went down the exact same conversation where if the body wants to lose weight and actually keep it off, which is what only 5% of people manage to do, the way they manage to do it is slowly, slow enough that it doesn't shock the body and that it doesn't create a
Correct.
backlash effect or anything like that, which
Correct.
people don't, you know, when they want to feel better, because the reason they're in therapy or going to therapy is because they're miserable. They want it now.
That's right.
And so the SRT doesn't do that, right? SRT is, so they don't know what SRT is going to be, but you meet
SRT
people.
doesn't listen to this. This is full of stories,
Doesn't listen to the
all kinds of
mind. She's pointing to the
stories.
mind. Does not listen to this.
I don't, that is all just noise above what I'm paying attention to, what I take my cues from.
Got it.
That individual person's nervous system is telling me everything. It's telling me the pace at which we will go
Got it.
and how we will get there.
Got
Yeah.
it. Got it. So it's a real attunement to that. So give us the example that you were going to talk about. We were going to talk about this.
So, I mean, I can say that if I think about one of the hundreds of people, that's not an exaggeration, who have come to me over more than 30 years of practice with a suicide date, a plan, a mechanism, they know how they're going to, the whole thing. And they say, this is it.
This is my
This
last
is
stop. I'm just.
my last stop. And so right there, right? There's no SRT doesn't react. It doesn't resist. So right there, they recognize that they're in a different experience that they've never been in before.
We're not talking about it. We're not
I'm
committing
not
to be into it or out
I'm
of
not
it.
trying to convince them differently. I'm not trying to get them to sign a contract. I'm not trying to,
We're not, we're for sure not. Yeah, got
I'm
it.
not
We're
reporting them to the
not reporting them. We're
authorities.
not pathologizing them.
No.
Nothing, nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Naturalizing that and actually keeping that as an option. That is, listen, the reality is that's always going to be an option.
You can't make it not an option.
Yeah, and there's no need to cancel it out, as an option. And that's it. And then you just get busy working somatically. But I can tell you that it hasn't happened.
Thank God. Thank God. In hundreds
Yeah.
of cases, in hundreds of cases.
Yeah, so I just don't know what is more dramatic than that. Someone coming on their death, on death's door, and not one of them has,
Have
what
you
can I
worked
say?
with violent populations, with people who are abusive? And because I believe you
Oh.
have, my research says you have. And
Oh, gosh.
tell us what that looks like, working with people that are, you're a tiny person. I don't know if my viewers can see you right now, but you're a tiny petite little woman and you're working with.
Yeah. And honestly, I even want to say something very important here. As difficult as this may be for someone to hear, I don't think it's going to be so hard to accept seeing what my personality is like. I was violent. I was extremely violent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was an animal, an absolute animal.
That was how you protected yourself.
Yeah. I mean,
Yep.
I would be dead.
Yeah.
I would be dead.
Yeah.
I was suffocating to death over and over again. If I didn't get violent and protect myself, I would be dead. And so what happens is that gets practiced in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're traumatized, your amygdala are going, telling you that you're in danger everywhere you go
Just a fight response. That's all it
with
is.
whomever you are with. I baked in. My superhighway was a fight response.
Yeah.
So I'm that person.
Yeah. So
I was.
you're able to see it on yourself, and it's right. And when you work with this population, it doesn't throw you off. You see it as a fight response,
Natural.
a
It's
natural
100%
fight
natural.
response. That's it. And then you work from
100%.
there. Work from there.
100%. And so all of those seriously emotionally disturbed K to 12 students that I
Yeah.
worked with, yeah,
Yeah.
and even pre-K, I should say, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I worked for 30 years in the schools. Pre-K, I was a college professor for a while, but I wasn't doing trauma healing at that time.
Yeah.
But I, from pre-K to 12,
Yeah.
for 30 years in
Yeah.
Canada and here in the States, I worked with seriously, they were SED kids, right?
What does
Or
that stand for? What did you say?
it was seriously emotionally disturbed. Now they're
Got it.
just
Oh,
called
SED.
ED.
Yeah, right.
Now they're just
Emotionally
called
disturbed.
ED,
Yeah.
emotionally disturbed, and
Yeah.
extremely so.
Yeah.
Throwing chairs at you, desks at you, fighting you, attacking you. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, I did that for decades.
And then they're okay to do this SRT work. So I guess I'm circling back to that question. When it doesn't feel safe to be in a safe body, because I need to be in the fight response. So how do you work with that to make it that, especially because I'm sure that the population that you're working with, they're actually going back home. Maybe in school they're safe, maybe not, but they're going back home to environments where they do have to be on guard and they do have to have their fight response up. Like you said, you had to fight or you'd be dead. And so
Yeah.
now I'm asking somebody who needs their fight response handy, actually, not in the past, they need it handy, and you're putting them into a state of okayness or safety.
Be very careful here.
Okay. Coach me. Yeah, I want to understand it.
I am, they are getting to have experiences of safety with me,
Yeah.
right? I'm training teachers to
Yeah.
become safer so that when they're at school, they're getting to have safe experiences with us
Yeah.
so that they have a reference point for what that is. But what we're doing is equipping them, grounding them, bringing them.
To be able to land there after when the time is right, kind of.
Yeah, it really is about empowering them with mechanisms for moments of relief.
Got it.
So it's not about taking down their guard when they need it. What happens with trauma healing is not that we become kumbaya, relaxed, nothing bothers us, we don't get upset anymore.
That
You
we
know,
have a
oh,
baseline to go back to of okay.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, oh, you want to attack me? Oh, I'm trauma healed.
Right.
It's not like that. It's that we have a natural way of being
Yeah.
that is an equilibrium.
Yeah.
And that's what we restore in people who have been traumatized.
Yeah.
And so it's for their mechanisms to go on working for them as they
To
need to.
rest, rest so that they can actually function as needed when they need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that gives like a pretty clear picture of how of the basics of SRT, and I think that our listeners can probably. It's hard to argue with that. It kind of puts to bed a lot of the other modalities that are being utilized right now, like IFS and DBT and all these other therapies, how do those fit into the framework at all, if they do?
Well, they do because, in fact, those things have been a part of SRT since the beginning of SRT. It's been very interesting to me to see these different approaches, like the names of them. I think about this for Peter too, because there are so many things. This started decades ago. So many things that were a portion of what Peter does, and now it has its own name and it's its own approach. And I think that's fantastic. It's great.
It's an
But
expansion kind of.
it's in somatic experiencing, right? Or I see there's some of the things now, it's a part of what's already being done in SRT, and it's a part of it, and it has its own name, and it's seen as its
Got
own
it.
approach. And so it is, I think it's fantastic,
Because
right?
I had an interesting experience where I was introduced to IFS before I was introduced to SRT or any kind of somatic. And what I found while I was doing IFS is that if we didn't have a good container for the IFS work, for just opening up these, experiences, then it could be re-traumatizing. And so I went looking for a way to kind of, go and f bring safety to the body. And that's how I found, just somatic practices. I wouldn't have found it otherwise, but I feel like SRT maybe is inclusive of IFS and those, but it's not true the other way around. Like IFS doesn't necessarily create that safe vessel or container or model for how to hold whatever we're opening or how to,
And the good news is that we are changing that. So EMDR is different now, CBT is different now, DBT has somatic
They
elements.
all
Like,
have an element of creating a safe container upon which to do this work or within which to do this work.
yeah.
That's
I mean,
important.
unfortunately, in my opinion, it isn't extensive enough. I feel like that's what I love, what I hope for people to have through SRT is get SRT'd and then go do everything you feel compelled to do, because then you'll have everything you need inside of you to regulate those experiences.
I don't, I mean, once you see the somatic piece, you kind of can't unsee it, whether it's the whole picture or, you kind of recognize that it can't, if you're not regulate, if there's no regulation or capacity to regulate, then the rest of the work is not going, it has nowhere to land. It's just kind of like poking around stuff. So thank you for this. So we have a couple of minutes left. So maybe if you
Basia,
could,
can I actually say something really exciting?
Yes,
The
that's what I wanted to.
fun piece. I'm so sorry. I just, because of what you just said, I want to jump in here before I lose my train of thought. That the beautiful thing is that what many people will find is that through the process you're talking about that prepares you to do these other approaches, a lot of times, if you just do all of that work, you end up in a place of going, what was all that work I needed to do? What was that inner child stuff I was felt really, what was that? It's like I just, you feel so wonderful. You become so healthy and well inside that this whole new bottom up message rises to the top that says, oh, it's okay. I guess I needed those experiences. I'm human like everybody else. That was my version of what life is, and it's
Love it.
okay. I don't
Love
think I need to dissect it in the way that I was gearing up to dissect it all,
it. To go into each scene and to and to unburden each scene and all that. So I really like that you're saying that. And I think that, the shift happened, and tell me if I'm wrong, it used to be very top down, and then it went from like an inside out, which is what the IFS and stuff would be. And then the somatic would be the bottom up kind of approach. And when you're at the real, the root. So then we're at the real root, and then we're there.
That's it.
Love
Let's
it.
just go to the root from the very beginning and be done with it.
Love it. Love it. So how can people reach you if they want to message you or talk to you or sign up for your, I know that you're about to start a 1-year course for practitioners that I'm hoping to actually join. I just bought your course online. So tell our listeners what's available to them.
I would love to. Please know that it isn't just a course for practitioners. About half the people that come for their own healing. and
Wow.
have no intentions and don't ever become practitioners.
They just learn,
So,
they just want to learn it for their own self or their
well,
family
it's
or,
healing. It's
yeah,
actually a healing experience.
in
It's
and of
like going,
itself.
it's like you went to rehab for a year. Do you know what
Yeah.
I mean? It's like you're going to a treatment center for a year. But really, really fun.
Yeah.
And it builds community and is a very, very special experience, which of course I don't want to tout, but if you ask the people who
I'm
have taken
touting
it,
it. I'm
so
touting
well, no,
it.
but ask
I'm
the people.
asking you. Yeah.
Ask the people who have taken it, and then because then you'll get testimonials. But if you go to drmelrose.com, you can message me from there. You can learn all about my trainings. I have some live, beautiful stuff in person, I should say. The 1 year training is live on
Yeah.
Thursday nights,
Yeah.
but in person, I will be in Florida doing some beautiful events in January. And so everything is up at my website. So that's the best place to go is drmelrose.com. You can also go to my YouTube channel, Dr. Reggie Melrose, and there are some really helpful videos there, lots of them that are categorized. If you go right to my channel,
Yeah.
you'll see that it's organized and categorized, and you can really get some good information there too. DrMelrose.com though is the website.
Awesome.
DrMelrose. -E.
DrMelrose. Awesome. That is amazing. And I checked out your website. It's very easy to navigate. It's very clear. It's very easy to use. It works. The links, it's one of those websites that you're just like, hey, someone's doing something right over there. And I haven't gone to the YouTube, but I'm guessing it's the same. So thank you for that. Thank you for making it easy and clear and accessible. And also, if anybody wants to download the courses that you offer, they're very affordable also. So thank you, Dr. Reggie, for your time. I know you're so busy and you made this happen. So thanks for coming on and for all the amazing, beautiful work that you do for the community and the world and all that.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
I thank you. I
Yeah.
thank you
Yeah.
because it's really been an honor. I
Yeah.
mean that. And I'll see you again, Basia.